I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, folks. We were just talking about the Bankrate.com study that they did with both foreclosures and unemployment and actually deficiencies. Delinquency rates, I'm sorry. Joining us now is Arthur Sterbkow, local real estate analyst. Arthur, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So, Arthur, what are we seeing as the trends right now as it relates to real estate sales throughout the New Orleans metropolitan area?
Well, we're in transition, obviously. We talked about this a little bit before. It has a similar path that we had after Hurricane Katrina, in that obviously everything was kind of inside out, upside down. Everybody went into hold, and then the market kind of went crazy. It rebounded, and we're in that rebound effect right now. Residential sales March, April, May were really in the tank. I mean, just for all intents and purposes, probably as low as you could imagine. But in June, it had an enormous spike. We're up dramatically. Now, most of it just rebound, pent-up demand, sales were postponed, and now we're starting to see those things come into play on the residential side. A little bit of concern in a couple of areas and a couple of price ranges, specifically Orleans Parish, because it's so hospitality-dependent. It's been more adversely affected than the surrounding parishes. In June, for example, the median sales price in Orleans Parish as a whole was down 13% from June of last year. And that's very significant. However, in certain areas of Orleans Parish, median sales price was up 4%, 5%. So it really depended on those particular areas that were job dependent on the hospitality industry. Other areas, Jefferson Parish is basically the same residential volume as last year. St. Tammany up about 4% from last year. The most recent information I've got is actually from this morning, and it's an index that basically logs in all the appointments that agents actually showed every day electronically. And that to me is a real early warning signal or indicator of what's happening in the marketplace today. And right now, as a 1 week rolling average from this past week till 1 week a year ago, the number of showings is actually up 4% from last year. Now, that's in greater New Orleans as a whole. So you can see the market is holding its own on the residential side, primarily driven by just the incredibly low interest rates. That's what's happening right now. These interest rates are just outstanding.
Are we able to determine whether or not this is out-migration from one parish to another, or is it in-migration from other areas of the country into this metro area?
Not very much in-migration into the area, and that's nationwide. That's not a local issue. That's nationwide. Everyone's in. Businesses are pretty much a lockdown mode in terms of transferring employees from one place to another, unless they're downsizing or absolutely closing an office or an industry in a particular area and reopening someplace else. But that's the oddball situation, not a norm. In terms of what's happening out migration from one parish to the other, it's a really too early to tell. But some of the anecdotal stories I'm getting is just the negativity of living in an urban city, the Detroits, the Portlands, the Seattles, Miamis. People are worrying about, gosh, could that happen to us in New Orleans? And I haven't seen a lot about migration out of it, but I do hear people voicing their concerns about it. I haven't seen everybody put their houses on the market in Orleans Parish and move to St. Tammany or St. Charles
right.
or St. John.
Right.
But I think a lot of that will probably tend to evaporate those overly concerns after the election. I think after January 1, there's so much angst in the marketplace driven by politics that I think it just has people worried. The thing that really drives the residential home sales are the ladies in the crowd. That's what drives home sales. Women drive residential home sales. Men may think they do. They do not. And women find locations based on security and safety. They want to know their family's safe, their grandparents are safe, their relatives are safe. They want to make sure that, you know, they are in a very safe environment. And this defund the police thing and all of that is very worrisome to the women in the audience.
And rightfully so. I mean, when you start hearing the anecdotal horror stories of what's going on in major urban areas across the country, one can't ignore the fact and go without simply asking why.
Yeah, that's correct. Now, on the disexchange tax a little bit, on the, you asked about the overall real estate market. The commercial real estate market is also very active right now. Active in two ways. The biggest thing, it's, again, interest rate driven. I heard the previous speaker, and he was totally right about the delinquency rate, but it's a voluntary delinquency rate. I mean, people went, hey, I can get off. I don't have to pay 6 months. Yeah, I'll apply for that. I'll take that. Yeah, well, where do I sign up? Well, it looks bad on the books, but they were more concerned about the uncertainty of the future. They'd rather have that cash flow this week, this month, next couple of months. Even though they might not need it, they would rather be on the safe side. And if you're going to give them free forbearance for a couple of months and not ding their credit, who wouldn't sign up for that? It's free money their minds for a couple of months. So we're just going to see it on the commercial side as well. We're seeing a lot of activity because of these new SBA 7(a) loans. If you haven't talked to a bank about the new 7(a) loans, you need to. They're incredible. Getting 25-year loans and having 6 months forgiven when you take out the loan, that's a pretty sweet deal if you're looking to buy commercial real estate. So these banks, I think, are the only problem is the banks are overwhelmed with loan applications, not just from the residential side, but also on the commercial side with all the PPP loans and all of the rest of that. So you just have to get in line and wait, and it's a long line.
Arthur, wanted to pick your brain just for a few minutes. In the next hour, we're going to be talking to leaders in the Lower Ninth Ward, Laura Paul, the executive director of the Lower9.org, and some other folks from the Holy Cross Neighborhood Association. Obviously, the CVS closes out there. That was a big to-do when it opened under the Landrieu administration. It seems like a lot of the early-on successes that they had there, they've kind of retreated a little bit. What do you see happening in the Lower Nine?
Well, I think it's I don't see anything dramatic happening that's going to change its trajectory, to be frank. I see it's stable. I don't see it, you know, going down, but I don't see any huge employment growth in that area that's going to cause the demand to suddenly appear. It's jobs that drives a local market. It's J-O-B-S, jobs. And unless there's some major employers or major industries that relocate into the area that make that area attractive for people, commute, transportation-wise, I don't see anything really changing in that area. I see it very static, I would guess, would be the best description I could give to it.
And it would be probably very similar. Would that be similar to a lot of other neighborhoods throughout the city of New Orleans?
Yes, exactly. There's nothing exceptional about it other than the architecture and the history of it. But you've got Bywater, you've got Narrenee, you've got a lot of areas that are competing for that type of a market, and they've got some B&B activity. Down there's a little bit off the beaten path for the B&B industry, hospitality, but not totally. But right now, a lot of the B&Bs have been converted to just rentals, you know, longer, one-year rentals instead of the B&B industry. So there's a shifting in the use of those things. And the same thing, it's really interesting. Really, the same thing's happened in the commercial side. The Walmarts of the world, not so much down here because of the weather, but in every other parts of the country, there are 160 Walmarts around the country that are converting their parking lots into drive-in movies. And it's an adaptive reuse of their parking lots. They're thinking, well, we've got to get people here. People don't want to go to the movies anymore for various and sundry reasons. They want to be in their family, in their car, where it's safe. We'll have drive-in movies. They'll come in, buy all their supplies, their groceries, popcorn in our grocery stores or in our Walmart, and then they can go in the parking lot and watch movies. They're also doing some, and not just the Walmart parking lots. A lot of the parking lots around the country that formerly were there for sporting events or were there for office buildings that are open air. So we're seeing a lot of things changing as a result of this coronavirus, changes in lifestyles.
Speaking of parking lots, obviously when you're a tourism town and you have all of these events and you're drawing people down here, that's a huge sector of our commercial property downtown and throughout the warehouse district and into mid-city and so forth. Do you see anything significant happening there? I mean, obviously, some people are subletting the land and guaranteeing, you know, monthly amounts of money, but there's nobody down there. I went down there the other day, and, I mean, it's still very much a ghost town.
Yeah, that's going to continue until the coronavirus, obviously, till there's a vaccine and everybody goes, finally takes a deep breath and goes, okay, I think we're, you know, 80%, 90% back to normal. Let's get back into our previous lifestyle. And the same thing happened in 1917, 1918 with the pandemic back then. Everybody went into lockdown. People wore masks back then. There were office buildings back then, not like they have now, but people didn't go to the offices. They were very similar. So, you know, people, human beings, really don't change a lot. We're basically the same humans, and we respond to the same stimuli the same way. I do think that the parking lots are going to be back, and what are they going to do with them in the interim? What I'm seeing in some areas of the country, and unfortunately here in New Orleans, it's just so hot in the summer. So I'm seeing summer camps actually being promoted on these empty parking lots in other parts of the country where the weather's not so bad, where the rain doesn't storm or lightning's around there all the time. So there can be some other uses, again, temporary adaptive reuses to get some cash flow or activity on it. The other thing that I see is the apps. I mean, I think we're going to see the parking lot attendants pretty much disappear, and that, you know, you're going to pay for it on your phone and get in the parking lot. You're not even going to have the kiosk there in the future. So I think all of those things are transitional, will decrease the expense load in the parking lot, the personnel cost. But that's coming. That's absolutely coming.
Arthur, we hear a lot of talk about, you know, people working from home. I'm broadcasting from home, and this is, I think, our 13th week or so, whatever. I've even forgotten how many. What percentage change does there, if you could quantify this or even thought about it, that would happen of people working from home where it would really hurt, you know, the building market, the commercial building market, and let's just say like in downtown New Orleans or in other towns where people just are not interested in leasing property down there and having, you know, all of their employees co-located in one place. And I think a lot of companies are realizing for the first time, we can do this without all this additional expense, without the parking expense, without the expense of bringing our people downtown. This makes a lot more sense.
Well, it's a complicated issue. Long term, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that certainly technology has already brought about some consolidation of needed office space over the past, you know, 15, 20 years. Just computers have done that. And we'll continue to see that. But I'm seeing things that are a little bit different. What I'm seeing is employers today, and I'm familiar with a couple of major employers that are they're moving. They have the same employees, but they don't want them as concentrated, and they're bringing them in shifts. And, you know, they don't need as much office space because basically they need half the office space. So they'll bring in one shift from, you know, 7 to 3, another from 3 to 8. And that's just a bit of a change from what I've seen. I've seen some there's a lot of movement in the office leasing market for sure. There's some people who are downsizing and there's some that are upsizing. So it's just, you know, everything's in transition right now. Where it sorts out, I think we're going to see probably at the first quarter of next year, we'll have a much more solid foundation of what to expect and what things are going to look like long term. But from now until then, it's way – I'm not that good. I mean, if I was, I'd be at Harris predicting the future. If I was
absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, it's interesting. I mean, things are just moving, and I guess the disruption in the norm in what is norm. There is no norm any longer. I will say this:
that there's a fact that it really doesn't get talked about, I think, enough. My opinion is there's a tremendous amount of, believe it or not, cash flowing in this economy. You're not seeing it come out yet. And, you know, we've got 13-14% unemployment. There's no doubt about that. But we also have 87% employment. And that 87%, those folks are getting some pretty good economic breathing room right now, whether it's the PPP, whether it's the unemployment insurance. That's a lot of cash that's coming into the marketplace. And all you have to, if anybody wants to counter that, go try to find a parking place at Walmart. Go try to find one at Home Depot. I mean, it is packed. Now, the smaller shopping centers, they're having a tough time, no doubt about it. But those big box companies, they're doing very, very well.
And went to Costco the other day at noon.
People are spending money.
Went to Costco the other day at noon over the weekend, and there was a line wrapped around the building.
There's cash in people. People spend money when they feel comfortable about spending it, and when they feel very uncertain about the future, their jobs, they go into lockdown. They do not spend money. They do not. They're not spending money on travel. They're not spending money on restaurants. So that discretionary money they've got, they're spending back on fixing up their houses. Now that they see their house all day, God, look at that leaky faucet. Maybe we just ought to replace the whole faucet and just get all upgraded. Let's upgrade the lighting fixtures. Let's do this. Let's do that. So they're spending their money back on their homes, which is they're seeing problems because they're living there all day, the things that normally they wouldn't pay attention to. And so I'm seeing, believe it or not, a better housing product coming out of this when it's all over with more updates and things like that. So those companies that are doing, you know, countertops, cabinets, carpet, they're doing fine.
No, absolutely. You drive around my neighborhood and you see repair trucks on every block. I mean, you can't go down the street without seeing some kind of repair truck, air condition, plumbing, like you said, kitchen renovation, whatever it may be, new fence, any number of issues that they are spending their money on now. All right, Arthur, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate the information and the insight that you provided today. Have a great week.
My pleasure. Good luck. Thanks. Bye-bye.
That's Arthur Sturbkow, local real estate analysis, talking about the local market. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us, folks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.